Welcome to the AQA Psychology Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in this episode, we're diving deep into one of the most important topics in the memory unit, explanations for forgetting. Whether you're revising for your AS or full A-level, this topic comes up time and time again, and getting it right can be the difference between a grade 6 and a grade 8. So let's get into it. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to clearly define and distinguish between interference theory and retrieval failure theory, name the key studies and their findings, apply these theories to real-world scenarios, and tackle those tricky exam questions with confidence. We've got a lot to cover, so let's start from the top. Section 1, the big picture. Why do we forget? Forgetting is one of the most studied phenomena in cognitive psychology. The key question is, when we can't remember something, is it because the memory is actually gone, or is it simply inaccessible? This distinction is absolutely fundamental, and it's what separates the two main theories we're covering today. Interference theory says, the memory is there, but other memories are getting in the way. They're competing and causing confusion. Retrieval failure theory says, the memory is there, but you can't find it because you're missing the right key, the right cue, to unlock it. Think of your memory like a vast library. Interference is like having two books filed under the same title. You pick up the wrong one. Retrieval failure is like knowing a book is in the library but not being able to find it because you've lost the catalog reference. Now, let's go deeper into each theory. Section 2, interference theory. Interference theory proposes that forgetting occurs because memories compete with one another and similar memories are particularly likely to interfere. There are two types, and you absolutely must get these the right way around. First, proactive interference. The word proactive means acting forward in time. So proactive interference is when an old memory disrupts the recall of a new memory. Here's a classic example. Imagine you've been learning French for 2 years. Then you start learning Spanish. When you try to recall your Spanish vocabulary, your French keeps getting in the way. The old French memories are acting forward, interfering with the new Spanish ones. Second, retroactive interference. Retroactive means acting backward in time. So retroactive interference is when a new memory disrupts the recall of an old memory. Using the same example, after you've learned Spanish, you try to recall your French, but now the Spanish interferes, acting backward to disrupt the older French memories. Here's the mnemonic you need to tattoo on your brain, metaphorically, of course. It's PORN, P-O-R-N. Proactive equals old disrupts new. Retroactive equals new disrupts old. I know it's a bit cheeky, but trust me, you will never mix these up again. Now, the key research study for interference theory is McGeoch and McDonald, 1931. They gave participants a list of words to learn, then had them learn a second list. The second list varied in similarity to the first. Some groups learned synonyms, some learned antonyms, some learned nonsense syllables, and some learned numbers. The finding was clear. The more similar the two lists were, the greater the interference and the worse the recall. Synonyms cause the most interference. This supports the idea that similarity is the key driver of interference. How do you evaluate this? Well, the study has high internal validity because it was a controlled laboratory experiment. Variables were carefully controlled so we can be confident about cause and effect. However, and this is where your AO3 needs to go beyond the generic, the study lacks mundane realism. Learning word lists in a lab is nothing like real-world memory tasks. In everyday life, we don't sit down and memorize lists of synonyms. This means we should be cautious about generalizing the findings to real-world forgetting. This is a specific, developed evaluation point, not just saying it lacks ecological validity and leaving it there. Another strong evaluation point, interference theory can explain why forgetting increases over time when we're exposed to more interfering information. This has real-world applications. For example, it suggests that students should avoid studying similar subjects back-to-back, which is actually useful advice for your own revision. Section 3, retrieval failure theory. Now let's move on to retrieval failure theory, which is arguably even more interesting and has stronger real-world application. The core idea comes from Endel Tolving's encoding specificity principle, proposed in 1983. Tolving argued that at the point of encoding, that is, when you first learn something, various cues are encoded alongside the memory itself. These cues might be external, like the physical environment you were in, or internal, like your emotional state or physiological state at the time. The principle states, for successful retrieval, the cues present at encoding must be present at retrieval. If those cues are absent, retrieval failure occurs, not because the memory is gone, but because you can't access it. There are two subtypes of retrieval failure, and you need to know both. Context-dependent forgetting involves external cues, things in the environment around you. The landmark study here is Godden and Baddeley, 1975. They tested deep-sea divers who learned word lists either on land or underwater. They were then tested either in the same environment or a different one. The results were striking. Recall was approximately 40% better when the environment at recall matched the environment at learning. Divers who learned words underwater recalled them better underwater. Divers who learned on land recalled better on land. When the context mismatched, recall dropped significantly. This directly supports the encoding specificity principle. The environmental cues encoded alongside the words were needed for successful retrieval. State-dependent forgetting involves internal cues, your physiological or psychological state. The key study is Carter and Cassidy, 1998. They gave participants antihistamine drugs, which cause mild drowsiness, and found that recall was better when the internal state at recall matched the state at encoding. If participants learned information while drowsy from the drug, they recalled it better when drowsy. If they learned it in a normal state, they recalled it better in a normal state. Mismatching internal states led to retrieval failure. A real-world application of state-dependent forgetting. Some research suggests that people who experience events while under the influence of alcohol may recall those events better when they are again in an intoxicated state. This has implications for eyewitness testimony, a topic you may well be linking to in synoptic questions. How do you evaluate retrieval failure theory? Godden and Baddeley's study has high ecological validity compared to typical lab studies. It used real divers in real environments, not artificial lab conditions. However, a key limitation is that the study used free recall rather than recognition. A follow-up study found that the context effect disappeared when a recognition test was used instead of free recall. This suggests the theory may only apply to certain types of memory test, which limits its generalizability. Another evaluation point, retrieval failure theory has strong practical applications. For example, it suggests that students should revise in conditions similar to their exam environment, quiet rooms, no music, to maximize the match between encoding and retrieval cues. This is a real-world application that examiners will credit. Section 4, Exam Tips and Common Mistakes. Right, let's talk about how to actually get the marks. This is where a lot of candidates lose points unnecessarily. Common mistake number one, mixing up proactive and retroactive interference. This is the most frequent error. Use your porn mnemonic every single time. Write it at the top of your answer paper if you need to. Common mistake number two, describing the procedure of Godden and Baddeley without stating the findings or linking them to the theory. Examiners are not impressed by a retelling of the study design. They want to know, what did the study find, and how does that support or challenge the theory? Always state the finding explicitly, and then make the link. Common mistake number three, confusing interference theory with retrieval failure. The key distinction is this. Interference involves competing memories causing confusion. Retrieval failure involves the absence of cues making a memory inaccessible. One is about conflict, the other is about missing keys. Common mistake number four, generic evaluation. Saying the study lacks ecological validity without explaining why, or saying it is reductionist without applying that logic to memory specifically, will not get you AO3 marks beyond level one. You must explain the specific reason why the limitation matters for this theory. For a 16-mark discuss question, aim for roughly 6 marks worth of AO1 description. That's about 3 to 4 well-written paragraphs, and then spend the bulk of your time on 3 to 4 developed AO3 evaluation points. Each evaluation point should follow the structure. Make the point, explain the evidence, and then explain the implication for the theory. For application questions, where you're given a scenario, always quote the stem directly. If the question says Amir has just learned French and is now struggling to recall his Spanish, you write, this is an example of proactive interference because, as stated in the stem, Amir's older French memories are disrupting his recall of the newer Spanish vocabulary. Quoting the stem shows the examiner you're applying the theory, not just describing it. Section 5, Quickfire Recall Quiz. Cover up your notes and test yourself on these. Ready? Question 1, what does proactive interference mean? Pause and answer. The answer is old memories disrupting the recall of new memories. Question 2. What is the encoding specificity principle and who proposed it? Pause. The answer is Tulving, 1983, Cues present at encoding must be present at retrieval for successful recall. Question 3. What did Godin and Baddeley find in their 1975 study? Pause. The answer is, recall was approximately 40% better when the environment at recall matched the environment at learning, supporting context-dependent forgetting. Question 4. What is the difference between context-dependent and state-dependent forgetting? Pause. Context-dependent involves external environmental cues. State-dependent involves internal physiological or psychological cues. Question 5. What is the poor mnemonic? Pause. Proactive equals old disrupts new. Retroactive equals new disrupts old. How did you do? If you got all 5, you're in great shape. If you stumbled, go back and reread the relevant sections. Section 6, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Today, we've covered 2 major explanations for forgetting. Interference theory, with its 2 types, proactive and retroactive, explains forgetting as the result of competing memories, supported by McGeoch and McDonald's 1931 word list study. Retrieval failure theory, grounded in Tulving's 1983 encoding specificity principle, explains forgetting as the result of missing cues, supported by Godin and Baddeley's 1975 Diver study for context-dependent forgetting, and Carter and Cassaday's 1998 study for state-dependent forgetting. The critical distinction for the exam: interference is about conflict between memories. Retrieval failure is about missing cues. Get that distinction crystal clear, and you'll be well on your way to top marks. Remember, in your exam answers, always define precisely. Name the study, state the finding, and make the theoretical link explicit. Don't leave the examiner to join the dots. You join them for them. Good luck with your revision. You've got this. See you in the next episode.